Bovey for pre-recording the announcements. They all did just a wonderful job. I'm coming to you live from the building, Reach Out Church. There's just four of us here, my family, and we're here to share the Word of God with you. But before we do that, just to give you a little bit of an update, most of you know I sent out an email as well as a small video clip during the week concerning our health update. Both Sandra and I did come down with COVID. In fact, we were tested Good Friday morning, and we're tested positive on that particular day. It was during the week, though, you know, a few days leading up to that, that neither of us were feeling very good, but we thought actually it was allergies. You know, this time of year here in the Hudson Valley, it becomes a problem for Sandra and I, but by the time Thursday came along, we were beginning to wonder that it was more than that, and that's why we elected to get tested, which we did. And it showed that we were definitely COVID positive. And so it's been quite an experience. Sandra really, she did very well. She's tough. She did not experience some of the flu-like symptoms that a lot of other people do, just a cough a bit and a few other things, but extremely tired. I, on the other hand, man, I felt like a baseball bat had gone to my head. It was full-blown flu-like symptoms, and it really knocked the tar out of me for quite a number of days. But we are on the mend, thank God, and in fact, technically today, we're off a quarantine, but we won't be going out anywhere until tomorrow. Again, just to make it safe for everyone. We're looking forward to having church again with people being able to attend here, in person. But again, we elected and chose to close the church just out of the abundance of precaution and safety. And I believe we made the right decision, even though it was over Easter. And, Jonathan did a wonderful job for the Friday service and the Sunday morning service. And I'm grateful for his contribution to the kingdom. But let's take a moment and pray. You know, I believe that through my experience that God has spoken to me, some of my best messages that I share are ones that God is speaking to me about. And so I pray that out of the overflow of what God is showing me that you can receive something. So, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to share with your people. I pray, Lord God, that wherever they are, if some of them are possibly dealing with COVID at this very moment, others are dealing with other health concerns, relationship concerns, all kinds of different circumstances. And I pray, Lord, that as I share the message with them today, that Father, right now in Jesus' name, that it would encourage them and lift them up in their walk with you. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin, in fact, many of our scriptures we're going to be looking up are in the book of Psalms. You know, Psalms, and it wasn't my plan to do that, it was just as I was preparing, all the scriptures pointing to what I was talking about went to Psalms. And as I prayed about it and thought about it and wondered, well, why is that? Why Psalms? You know, David was the primary writer of Psalms, and he wrote about his life, essentially. He wrote about the high times and the low times and the every time in between that. And out of that, we have the Psalms. And he talked about dark times. He talked about when darkness fell in his life and wondering, God, are you there? And then responding and letting God respond through the Psalms that he was there. And so let's begin by laying a foundation. If you go to Psalms chapter 1, that's where I'd like to begin. A few verses, Psalms chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I think this is a very interesting psalm, and I believe that it was strategically placed as the first psalm in Psalms. It, in a sense, sets the stage. It talks about the righteous and the ungodly and the direction that each one of them go to. But I want to take a moment and talk about the righteous path. And that is, speaking of believers, we're made righteous by the blood of Jesus. We just finished the Easter season, and there's an emphasis on that to explain that it's not our righteousness that gets us to heaven. It's not our good works that gets us to heaven, but rather what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary when he shed his perfect, precious blood. Through his giving, through his sacrifice, if we accept that truth into our lives, we are, the Bible says, declared righteous in his sight. Not because of anything we did other than asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins. That's the only thing we did. We responded to the free gift and we received it by faith. And so that is what makes us righteous. That's why we are righteous. So look at this psalm with that in mind for a minute. And if we just go back just a little bit, verse 1 and 2, it talks about walking and standing and sitting. And as I look at that, it gives me the idea that we, no matter what we're doing, in whatever position of life, so to speak, that we need to be connected to God. But what I want to focus on just for a moment is verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And for us, that's not the Mosaic law. That's not the Old Testament. But the law of the Lord, the words of Jesus. In other words, our pleasure, our desire is in what God is saying to us. And that's how we need to be connected. And then the scripture goes on and says how we're connected. And look at this. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. We could leave verse 3 up on the screen just for a minute. You know, as we look at that scripture, what it talks about is being planted by the river. In fact, I underlined it. First of all, you know, it says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That word planted is really interesting. When you look up the original Hebrew word for it, it literally means to be transplanted. So not just planted and had been there, always been there, but it literally means to be transplanted. In other words, it was somewhere else, and then it was placed there. And then those roots could go to the rivers. And that river speaks of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of a source that you and I as righteous believers have that the world doesn't have. And that's why our leaf will not wither, even in times of darkness, even in times of storm, even in times of difficulty, that we have a source of strength that the world does not have. Now, you might be saying, well, that all sounds well and good, but when I'm feeling ill or when difficulties are going on in my family, I don't feel very connected. And I want to tell you today that I understand how you feel. Because for several days this past week, I felt that way. In other words, my mind, my cognitive thinking was all scrambled. You know, even in my sleep time, I organize things. It's just what I do when I sleep. I organize my thoughts. I literally can see myself doing that. Normally, when I sleep, I could not do that for about 4 days. And so literally, I'm grasping in the darkness, trying to bring a thought together and make things connect, and I could not do it. And it was so disheartening to me. It was literally like I was in the darkness and I'm grasping at things and I couldn't grasp it. And so then I would wake up and then I would fall back to sleep again. And again, trying to connect things. And literally, I must have been, you know, obviously running a fever and whatever else was going on inside me was causing me not to be able to connect, to find myself rooted and grounded. Now, here's the thing. The truth of that never changed. It's just experientially, my mind and my body was in such turmoil that literally my spirit, in a sense, was masked from me. I just couldn't sense the presence of God. Yet here's the thing. God is always there. And that's what you're going to hear through this message from beginning to end, that God is always there. And I'm going to portray that, and you're going to see that very clearly. Here's the thing. I didn't feel that he was there. I was in so much anguish, so much difficulty, just turmoil of everything going on, that I couldn't sense that he was there. And you see, that's where our foundation comes in and the importance of having a foundation with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you don't need Jesus just in the bad times You need them in the good times too. Because it's in the good times, it's in the times where you can reach out, it's in the times where you can feel him, it's in those times where you can experience him that you grow in your relationship with him. Because darkness will come. In fact, God never promised an easy life. He said that he'd be with us, he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But there'll be times in our lives where when darkness falls, whether it's a health issue or financial issue, relationship issue, whatever it might be, that literally we might not sense or feel that God is with us. But here's the thing. We have to fall back to the foundation of truth that he's always there. And regardless of what we feel, we have to acknowledge that he's there and trust that he's there, even in the darkness. And so as I began to think about this a little bit more, I realized this, that when we lose direct communication with the Lord, or when we feel that we've disconnected somehow, the strength or weakness of our relationship is based upon the times we have been connected to him. Our history, so to speak. I think of a natural relationship. So let's say Sandra and I, something happens to her cell phone when she's out somewhere. And I can't contact her. I don't know where she is or what's going on because something happened to her phone. Or she's not answering. And so depending upon the history of our relationship, if for some reason I had reasons not to trust her because in the past she was doing something or somewhere where she shouldn't have been, then all of a sudden then now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's she up to now? Is she doing the same thing as she did back there? Or in the case of Sandra, I know that she's 100% trustworthy. And so I don't feel that way concerning it. Even though I'm out of communication with her, I realize, hey, something must have happened to the phone, or she's driving and is unable to answer the phone, and she'll get hold of me or let me know as soon as possible that she's okay. But the thing is, the history of that relationship dictates how I will feel now when I'm disconnected for a little while. So what happens to you when you sense you're disconnected from God? Have you had experiences in the past where you know he's been trustworthy, where he's been faithful? Or have you had experiences where you've doubted him and you've wondered about his faithfulness towards you? You see, when that disconnect comes, what's going to happen is if you don't reach out for him, you're going to reach for something else in your life. You might reach for a bottle. You might reach for a pill. You might reach for unhealthy relationships when you feel that disconnect from God. And God doesn't want that to happen in your life. And so what we need to do is to begin to build foundations in our lives that is based upon the Word of God, his truth, which never changes, regardless of how we feel about it. And so that's what brings me to this point right now. David in Psalms 23, you know, he begins, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." And he's talking about his relationship with God, his Father. It's amazing, isn't it? But then he goes on, and it kind of takes a bit of a dark turn. And he says, "As though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, your rod and your staff, it comforts me." And you know, it's almost like it's, you know, sunshine and rainbows, kind of the first couple of verses. And then he talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's David being honest, saying, look, not every day do I feel the presence of God. Not every day is it sunshine and rainbows. He's talking about the valley of the shadow of death. But what comforted him? He says this, your rod and thy staff comfort me. Well, he's really speaking of one of the same things. A shepherd's staff is actually the rod and the staff. One end of it is pointy. It's used as a rod to push back enemies or bears or lions, those kinds of, it's a defensive weapon. And the other end had a crook on it, which was used to rescue sheep. Maybe if they got caught down in some rocks, you could hook them around the neck and be able to pull them to safety. But as well, on that rod, that staff, was engravings. And it engraved the ancestry of the family. And so literally, it traced it all the way back to God. And so literally, that staff represented who David was. And so here he is talking about, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. What David was really talking about is the fact that his relationship, his ancestral relationship, his history with God was secure. Even though he felt like he was in darkness, even though he felt like he was in a valley, he could hold on to that rod, he could see the engravings on it, and he could see that he was connected to God, that God would never leave him nor forsake him. And with that in mind, I believe that God showed me four things in my experience, in my time of difficulty as I was going through COVID, that I want to share with you. And I believe that God is speaking to me, and I believe that he'll speak to many of you as well. And so the first life lesson is this: don't take for granted the things that we have. You know, it's amazing for the, you know, basically I've been, it's been a staycation at home with Sandra, and it's been a wonderful time of fellowship with her, especially later in the week when I could actually have cognitive thinking and enjoy our time together. But we got in the car to come to the church even this morning, and it's amazing how in just a week, week and a half, how the grass is just growing like crazy. There's leaves coming out on the trees. There's flowers already. It's amazing, you know, the colors and the vibrancy. As I was just sitting praying this morning in my living room, I could hear the songbirds. You know, again, a couple weeks ago, none of that was happening yet. And it's amazing the things that we take for granted. You know, the breath that's in our lungs, the grass and the trees and all of God's creation, the relationships that we have. And I think that sometimes when we kind of go through a time of being shut down like I experienced, it reminds me afresh of, first of all, how delicate life is. Ecclesiastes says that we're all just a breath that's here one day and gone the next. And I don't say that in a morbid way. I say that in a way of saying this, that our life here has a limit to it. But for us as the righteous ones, as I've described earlier in Psalms 1, we have another life to go to. But don't take this life for granted. Really believe that God has a purpose for you and that you've been placed here. God has a destinations and destinations for you in this life to not just exist, not just to survive, but to truly thrive and make a difference in this world. And that can only come when we draw closer to the Lord, when we realize how important he is to us. Because when you just go about your own business, you're just doing your own thing. What eternal value is that? What legacy is truly being left in those things? And that doesn't mean we can't recreate. It doesn't mean we can't have hobbies. I'm fine about all that. But at the core of everything is our heart to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to love our neighbors as Christ loves us. And I believe that we need to look around at nature and look at creation and look at the people that are around us and have a greater appreciation. I can tell you that through this event, I have a greater appreciation for my family, for my friends, for my neighbors, for the church family, for those that reached out and said, hey, how are you doing? We're praying for you. Man, what an encouraging thing to have people reach out. You know, they're busy with their lives as well. Yet here they are reaching out. What a blessing to know that others were thinking about us and praying for us through that difficult season. And so I believe it's important to not take for granted the things that we have. The next point is this, that the enemy of your soul wants you to give up. I can tell you in that time in the darkness when I'm kind of grasping at things and trying to have cognitive thinking, I did hear a voice, and that voice was not God. And that voice was basically saying, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just roll over and just die? Just let yourself go. Don't try to reach out to God. He's not there. Those are the kinds of things I was hearing. And I was reminded of Scripture. And it's in Isaiah. I actually had to look up where the verse was, but I know it by heart. It's Isaiah 54, verse 17, and it says this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For their righteousness is not of them, but of me, says the Lord. So just look at this scripture for a minute. I underlined a couple of things. First of all, no weapon against you shall prosper. It means that Satan has no legal authority over you. And then it goes on and says, in every tongue which rises against you in judgment. Well, that's how Satan tries to condemn people, by speaking to them, either through people or directly just putting thoughts into your mind. And that's what was happening to me. And it says this, though, that when those things happen, who condemns? Who's to condemn those words? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it the Holy Spirit? No, it says, you shall condemn. And that means me. It means that as those thoughts, as those images came to my mind, I had to rise up and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I will not allow those words to condemn me because I know my God. And then it goes on and says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And again, back to this whole concept of righteousness. It says, their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Again, our ability to rebuke Satan isn't because how strong we are or any of that, but rather it's based upon the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us. We're children of God, and as children of God, we have the right to defend ourselves in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you that that voice came and went pretty quickly, but it was still there trying to pull me down. And that's what the enemy will try to do. He will try to come in and come to you at your weakest point. That's what he does. And so I encourage you to realize that there is an enemy of your soul out there, but there is also Holy Spirit of God that lives inside every believer, and he is there for each and every one of us. The next point is connected a little bit to this, and you'll see that in a minute. And it's this, what is inside you will come out. You know, it's in our weakest moments. I've said it this way, that our life is like a tube of toothpaste. And so when it gets squeezed, whatever's inside that tube of toothpaste will come out. And in a sense, when life squeezes us, when darkness falls, when we're experiencing difficulties, whether it's health or relationship or finances, often we're feeling squeezed, and whatever's inside will come out. And so I'm reminded of Scripture in Luke chapter 3 and 4, and it's about Jesus. He begins his public ministry where he's baptized. And it says this, as he come up out of the water and was praying, that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so at that point, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And he was there for 40 days and fasted. He never ate anything for 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, the tempter came along. And there must have been some round stones on the ground. You know, maybe it was part of a dry riverbed or something. I don't know. But the devil pointed to the stones and says, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Satan again tempted him, took him to and showed him in an instant all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all of these things, all these kingdoms have been given to me. And if you fall down and worship me, I will give them all to you. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord God and him alone. And then the devil again took him, put him on the highest pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, and said, cast yourself down, because God commands his angels to watch over you, that you won't even stumble, you won't even hurt your toe. And again, Jesus responded, it is written. And then speaks to him and says, do not put the Lord God to temptation. Now, it's interesting that Jesus all three times said, it is written. Now, he could have said other things. He could have said, hey, I'm the Son of God. Who do you think you're messing with? God just spoke to him 40 days before. He could have said, well, look at my Father in heaven just spoke to me. I just experienced him 40 days ago. He didn't do any of that, did he? He didn't proclaim who he was. He didn't say that God had just spoke to him experientially. But what did he say? He said, it is written. And actually, all three quotes are from the book of Deuteronomy, which is called the Book of Remembrance. Jesus had memorized the entire book. In fact, he probably had memorized all of the books. He is the living word. But what did he say? It is written. In other words, right at that point in Jesus' weakness, 40 days without food, his foundation was the written word of God. If you were being squeezed, is there scripture inside that would come out of you? Doesn't necessarily mean you have to know the exact chapter and verse. I'm not saying that that makes any difference. In fact, Jesus didn't quote chapter and verse. He just quoted the scripture. But what comes out of you when you're squeezed? Jesus gave us his example, and what should come out is the word of God, because that is what we can rely on, we can depend on. And number four, God is still there in the midst of the darkness. That's the most important lesson of all. I was thinking about this, and C.S. Lewis, as part of the Narnia series, wrote a book called A Horse and His Boy. And the boy's name was Sasha. And in the story, and if you remember, you know, Aslan, the lion, you know, is representative of Jesus. But in this one part of the book, Sasha has escaped from his enemies, and he's traveling at night on this horse, and it's pitch black, cannot see a thing, and the horse seems to know where he's going, so he's heading down a path. And Sasha realizes that something else is walking beside him in the darkness. He can't see, but he could hear just this breathing. And if he listened really closely, he could hear the footfalls of whatever was beside him. And at first he wondered, look, should I try to run? And he realized that the horse couldn't, you know, gallop in the darkness. That would be reckless and just crazy to do that. And so he finally conjures up the strength to say, who are you? And the lion answers, I'm Aslan. And Sasha didn't know who Aslan was. And then, so Sasha went on and said, are you one of the giants? Referring to some of the giants that he had fought with earlier on, you know, and began to name, you know, all the different enemies that he had fought earlier on. And Aslan said, no, I wasn't any of those. And then he said, well, who are you then? And Aslan said, well, I'm here for you. Now, what Sasha then went on to do was to talk about his entire childhood growing up. And basically, it was a series of unfortunate events. You know, apparently, he had been abandoned in the water, and a fisherman had found him on the shore and adopted him. And then as he got a little bit older, that fisherman tried to sell him to another guy. And then when he found out that guy wasn't a good guy, he ran away with this horse and got into all kinds of different things and problems and situations, until he was with Aslan walking. And so here's the amazing thing. As Sasha was telling this story of woe and he finished, Aslan turned to him and said, that's not the way it was. It was me that nuzzled you to shore so that fisherman could find you. It was me that sent the horse to you to rescue you so that you could be where you are now. And he went on and told about a bunch of other circumstances where Aslan was directly involved in rescuing him and saving him and helping him. And Sasha never even knew about it. You see, that's the thing about Jesus. He is with us in the darkness, and he is doing things that we maybe can't see, maybe don't even realize is going on, but he is still there. In a sense, we're the Sasha. We're in the darkness at times, and we can't see where we're going. But our Lord Jesus Christ is always there with us. And it's interesting, as Sasha and Aslan talked, it got brighter and brighter and brighter until Sasha could see everything that was going on, because Aslan brought light to the darkness. I want to tell you that whatever darkness you might be in right now, that Jesus wants to bring light to it. And that you need to call out to him. It's interesting that in the story that Aslan said, you know, I was waiting for you to call out to me. See, whatever darkness you're in right now at this very moment in time, Jesus is waiting for you to call out to him, because he is there for you. And I can tell you with certainty that through my time of darkness, that Jesus was there. I didn't feel him, didn't sense that he was there. Again, my physical side, my cognitive thinking was messed up. But deep down, in the essence of who I really am, in my spirit man, I knew that he was there. And I just needed to hold on to come out the other side, which I have. Now, again, I'm not 100% at this point, but I'll tell you right now that I am clear-headed, and I sense the presence of the Lord right here, right now. And I pray that you sense Him where you are as well. There was a time during this event, these couple of days, where I explained to you that I just could not, my cognitive thinking was off. I couldn't just sense a lot. But there was something else going on as well. I was having difficulty breathing for about 2 days, and especially when I laid down. I was just really, every breath was laborious. And in fact, it almost brought me back to when I was 7 years old and I had an asthma attack. And I remember literally falling to the ground, not able to breathe, almost unconscious. Now, it wasn't quite that bad this last week, those couple of days, but that was where it was going. You know, I could feel my mind saying, you can't breathe. You know, and literally having to tell myself, take a breath, take a deeper breath, let the air come in. And I was crying out to God on the inside. And through that time, God reminded me of a song I'd learned, you know, maybe a year or so ago, a simple song. But it was God's way of speaking to me. And I couldn't sing the song out loud because I was having trouble just breathing. And to be able to sing, it takes a lot more air to be able to do that. So what I began to do is on the inside of me, I began to sing that song. And it spoke to me. It reminded me of God's love, reminded me of God's faithfulness, of His goodness. I'm going to try to play that song for you right now, and I pray that it speaks to you as it spoke to me. Whether you're in a dark time right now, a time of darkness, and maybe you're physically having some difficulties health-wise, or maybe emotionally or psychologically having some difficulties, I want to tell you that Jesus is there for you.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus is so good. He's changed my life. He is the righteous one. And He's there for us even when we can't feel Him, even when we can't see Him. He is there. And I just encourage you with the words of this song. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Father, I thank you for the air that I breathe that comes into my lungs. I thank you for your holy presence. I thank you that you are my daily bread. And that I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Father, I thank you that you were always there. Even though I couldn't feel you, even though I couldn't sense you the entire week, you were there. Faithful and true to your word, you are. And so I pray for individuals right now that are maybe struggling with sensing your presence at this very moment in time. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would make yourself more real to them right now. We all need experiences with you because that all shores up our foundation. It reminds us of how real you are. But Lord God, ultimately, when maybe we can't hear you, when we can't sense you, we need that foundation of your word that's secure, that's always there. And so, Father, I pray that we make reading your word a priority, that we make seeking your face in the good times a priority, that you just make yourself more real to us as we open our hearts to you in desperation. For Lord God, each one of us will deal with times of darkness, each one of us, and we will need you. And Lord, even when we don't sense you, I pray in Jesus' name that we call out to you because you are there. Just waiting for us to call out. I thank you, you were there for me. I thank you, you were there for Sandra. I thank you that you were there for anyone who calls upon your name. So Lord, I speak a blessing upon this congregation. And Lord, I miss them so much. I obviously rather that they were here, seated here right now or standing here with me at this moment. But Lord God, I know that in the future, we will once again gather together. And I look forward to that time. But Lord, I thank you that just as much that you're here now, you're there with them right where they are, in their homes, in their cars, wherever they are listening to this message. And I pray that the reality of who you are just becomes more and more prevalent in their lives. So Father, I speak a blessing over each and every person in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you this morning.